Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make it count. In today's episode, we'll be diving into recapping a few standout moments from the previous week. Just this time, one, but very standout moment, before treating you to a song that hints at the intriguing personality of our special guest for today. Joining us today is Paul von Preußen, who will be sharing inspirational insights with us. And following that, I will introduce you to a special book, today this one, Breathe. And to wrap things up, we will open the floor to maybe a short story or one of your questions, if we have some time left. So let's dive into what happened in the world. And sometimes people want to receive an award. Sometimes company needs an award because they think it makes them bigger and more shiny. There is also something in the world which everybody can or everybody should know, and it's about Nobel Prize. The Nobel Prize in Medicine goes to two American biologists for work on the discovery of microRNA. The 2024 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine has been awarded to the US scientists Victor Ambros and Gary Rofkon for their work on the discovery of microRNA, a molecule that governs how cells in the body function. Their research revealed how genes, which contain the instruction manual for life, give rise to different types of cells within the human body, a process known as gene regulation. The Nobel Prize committee announced the prestigious honor, seen as the pinnacle of scientific achievement, in Sweden on Monday. It praised the groundbreaking discovery, which the committee said revealed an entirely new dimension to gene regulation. The discovery of gene regulation by microRNA, a family of molecules that helps cells control the sort of proteins they make that has been at work for hundreds of millions of years, was the result of decades of work by Ambros, a professor of natural science at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, and Rifkin, a professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School. Their discovery is of fundamental importance to understand how cells work and thus how organism develops, said Lorf Dellen, a professor of evolutionary genomics at Stockholm University. This finding was groundbreaking and has affected more or less all fields of biology and medicine, he told CNN. The information stored within our chromosomes can be liked to an instruction manual for all cells in our body. Every cell contains the same chromosomes, so every cell contains exactly the same set of genes and exactly the same set of instructions, the committee said in a statement. And yet, different cell types, such as muscle and nerve cells, have different characteristics. The two biologists have spent their careers investigating how these differences arise. The answer lies in gene regulation, which allows each cell to select only the relevant instructions. This ensures that only the correct set of genes is active in each cell type, the committee said. Gene regulation by microRNA has aided the evolution of increasingly complex organisms. If gene regulation goes awry, it can lead to cancer and other conditions found in humans and other animals, like hearing loss and skeletal disorders. MicroRNAs are very much implicated in cancer. There's ongoing research to make treatments or utilize microRNAs, mimic microRNA or block to treat cancer. There are some technical hurdles, and that there's no been any drugs yet, said Thomas Pullman, Secretary General of the Nobel Assembly. We are awarding this because of its fundamental importance for the basic understanding of physiology. We know historically that these big discoveries, they translate into clinical improvements, but it takes some time. So we see here that this is something which is really outstanding, and I'm happy to talk further about this later on. But first, let's kick things off with a song selected by Paul. When I woke up in the morning, it was really, really dark. And reading this line or witnessing me in this cold, dark world, we just need a little light. I felt like this in the morning when I woke up. But now the sun comes through the window, and it gave me really goosebumps when I heard this song. So thank you very much, Paul, for sorting out this great, great song. And welcome here in the show. Before we start with you, I would like to say a few words about the song, and then my first question drives me, of course, also to the song. Witness Me is a song that dives deep into themes of vulnerability, human connection, and the need to be seen and understood in a world where we are, which is often too fast and too much technology, too little diving deep into the feelings of the others, too little listening. It reflects a personal prayer for empathy and ask for be present and rawness and truth, ask for moments of self-doubt or inner turnaround. And I really love it. So I'm more than happy that I started this, Paul. First of all, welcome here again. And maybe you would like to say first a few words about the song before I give you your full introduction.
Many thanks, Annabelle. Yes, I just recently saw Jacob Collier performing on YouTube, and I thought, wow, very, very nice songs. And when I listened to that song, it immediately started this feeling of I thought about all the people I love, all the people that I connected with in the last years, and it starts this feeling of friendship, how important friendship is on the one side, but also, I mean, we saw that after the whole crisis, like the corona crisis and the pandemic, how important it is to really have eye-to-eye contact, how important it is to talk to each other. And we are human beings, and we are not machines. And for me as well, it's starting those connections and bondings between people. This is something that life is about, actually, and which is one of the most fun things that you could do in life. And that's why I love this song.
Great. Thank you so much. I would like to give now a small introduction to you before we start into the questions to hear more about you and what makes the person you are. You started your career quite early, and your career could have looked quite different because in the age of 25, you became already a representative on the board of a major German bank. But you decided then to go another way, and that your path is the entrepreneur. You went and stepped into new technologies. AI is one of that what characterizes your company. And besides this, it is important, very important to you to bring generations into dialogue, to learn from each other, to build relationships, and to understand people. Isn't this sometimes something which you find hard to combine? On the other one hand, hard technology, machine-driven, and on the other hand, emotional feelings, people which are sometimes hard to understand.
Yeah, I mean, at the end, I don't really care about the technology. What I care about is the people. And when people are connecting and are talking to each other, then, for example, when one person knows something about the technology, it's much more easy to understand that from this perspective for the other person than if you would just look it up on the internet or take a look at some videos or something. So I would say that the most important part is setting up the connections between people, and then we can learn from each other. And if that's learning regarding technology, if that's learning regarding any other topic, I wouldn't say that this is that important. The most important thing is for people to connect with each other on a one-on-one basis, and this is what I love, and this is what we do as a company as well.
Can you explain this a bit more? Talking about what happens in your company and what your company does and how you came to this idea.
Yeah, sure. So when I work for the bank, I work for the member of the management board who was responsible for sales and HR. And we saw that many digital projects in the bank failed. And we thought, why is this so? And then we took a look at those projects and thought maybe it's because of the budget. Maybe we just had a low budget for those projects, but that wasn't the case. And it also wasn't the case that the technology was bad. What we actually saw was that many people said maybe they were a bit frightened of new technology, AI, for example. Will I what about my job within the next years if I'm using this software? Or people saying, I didn't use this software for 20 years and it was successful. Why should I use it now? And this is where we started to think about how we can change this. And we saw on the one hand that there's this group of people, the young generation, the young people working for the company, that didn't have any problems when it came to new technology. And we, on the other side, saw that when managers in the group used software on a successful basis, then that was very important for the teams, and those teams were performing in a better way as well. So what we did at the end was we connected the young generation with the top management to let the young generation explain about new technologies for the management. And we called that reverse mentoring. So normally you have the mentoring programs in companies and organizations where the experienced one tells the newbie what to do to become a successful manager, for example. And we turned it around. We said, well, the young generation has also something to give. And then we founded our company, Digital Aid, where we now are working together with large corporates as well as smaller companies and SMEs to connect the responsible people there with people from the young generation so that the managers can learn something from people like young founders or school speakers or influencers on social media, activists, politicians, sports people, whatever. And they are all connected by that they are in a very young age between 16 and 30 years.
Right. That's a great concept. And do you have some experiences from the challenge, what that means sometimes for the people from the baby boomer generation, having a youngster there sitting in front of them and telling them how the world works?
Well, yes, I mean, this is not the normal situation for baby boomers, I would say, right? Most of them are so they experienced within the last years that they are the ones that are giving the answers and not asking the questions, right? And now it's the other way around. And of course, you have to admit that at some point you don't know something about a topic, for example, right? So I think it's hard, and all of the mentees that are part of our programs are very open for that and very interested in new topics. This is what is really important. Actually, it's great fun for them. So once you start this and you understand that the young generation has something to tell as well, it gets really interesting. And at the end, most of the times, we see that the generations aren't that different than everybody thinks.
Great. And I could imagine there, if I look for, especially in the world of banking, where sometimes the old structures still rise, that there could be some hindrance against. So first, yes, of course, I'm doing this. And then, okay, what does it mean with me? Or does it mean for me? Is it also that you are doing a kind of benchmarking or measuring about the success of this, a long lasting? Because, I mean, wishful would be, of course, that they say, hey, great, I got not only some good tips how I can do, I can improve with my, or better do my social media, but maybe I can turn around my mindset or whatever, something really essential.
So we are working together with the Uni University of Bamberg, who set up a method to measure the digital mindset and the development of digital mindset. And we are also talking about NPS scoring, for example. And we ask the managers to start projects within those reverse mentorings. And we really see many different interesting results coming out of those projects as well.
Wow, super interesting. I would like to play the mouse there to seeing something because I think that could be a role model for many others and should be really something which every politician profitizes from, especially the ones which are currently in conflicts involved or wars involved. I think it could be also a great peacemaker.
I think so too. Not only for it's not interesting only for organizations in business, but I would say for every single person, because it's the dialogue between the generations, and this is a topic to every one of us.
Exactly. And I'm looking forward to hearing more of that, the dialogue between generations, but also what brought you there and what are your special hacks you would like to give us from your learnings, not only from business. So stay tuned, please, and we see each other after the commercial.
The station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, truckie.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other truckie.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
The station that makes you feel good.
I'm happy to talk now further with Paul from Poison, and we just had very inspiring things to discuss already in the first part. You talked about, we just talked about reverse mentoring, which is a important piece of your work. And I would like to step into that, what you said, Paul, because sometimes I'm seeing old people and full of wisdom, and I don't see that we in our society have a lot of space left for them. I sometimes fear that they need to be seen much better because they have so much we can learn from. And for example, here in Berlin, you might know that there is one kindergarten which is together with a place for old people, so the old people can take care of the kids. And the resonance is that they can't stand with getting more people because everybody would like to go there because the old people feel younger. The kids they have a kind of second grandpa or grandmother. What is so wrong with this? Why are we so against this wisdom from other people, even if they're younger or if they're older? And Yeah, what is the reason for that? I mean, we would need this more than ever from my point of view.
Yeah, I really feel what you're saying. And in those times where we would say that everything's connected, we have our devices, with social media, we have iPhones, whatever, the internet, right? And you would say, wait, this could make or should make the world a better place, and it might do that in a form or in another. But what actually, when you're taking a look at the studies, you see is that more and more people are feeling lonely, and the more and more people are feeling depressed as well. And it's not only the younger or the older generations; it's you see that in all the generations. And what I really see in the biggest problem is that people are not talking to each other anymore. I just saw those numbers a few days ago, that the Google searches for "how do I find a friend" are significantly increasing within the last years when social media started. And this is something I really don't understand, because you would think, well, now everybody can be friends with everyone, right? But actually what happens is the opposite. So I really want people to connect and to talk each other, especially with those outside of the bubble. And when you're talking about different ages, for example, you're right. Young people are not used to talking to people that are 30, 40 or 50 years older, and the other way around as well. Any format or anything that can embrace that can start this dialogue is, I would say, one of the best things you could do right now.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And one thing which I would like also to discuss in this topic is, I remember very well when we were celebrating the 50 years of Limits of Growth from Meadow and from the Club of Rome. And I felt so sad sitting there and listening to that they did such great scientist research, but nothing has happened. And also now seeing here, talking about the Nobel Prize winners in medicine, why is it that so many people are finding it too complicated, that are finding it so far away from our life, wherever science is for me something which explains the world, which gives us some structure into that understanding. What do you think, and what is your feeling about that?
Yeah. So for me, for example, science often is hard to understand. I think it would be hard to understand, because when I usually take a look at Jonas, for example, I would say so many different the vocab is just so different to my day-to-day language, right? And this is something that we not only see when it comes to science, for example, that comes to many topics, where the young generation says, sorry, I don't get it. It's not in the language. That's not the language I'm talking. And those are not the channels that I'm looking at. So what I think those organizations should do is really take a look and think about how you can address those topics in a language and on channels that people understand.
This is super important. Yes, I completely agree with you. Because I think we are so connected in this world. We have to connect also on these levels. Because science can help us so good to understand.
Yeah.
Why we, for example, should live more sustainable, right?
Yes, totally agree. And I mean, there will always be people that say, well, this is not my topic. But I'm really convinced that the majority of society, if they would understand it, and if they would see the messages in a clear way, communicate in a clear way and on the right channels, we would get much more input and feedback, and also transfer from the society as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I mean, what you said beforehand is this conversation, this getting into exchange, understanding each other. I think we need to have this much more on different levels. So, for example, I mean, talking about AI. AI was for many people scaring and making them frightened. Nowadays, suddenly it turned into something, hey, that's a cool gadget and you need to have it, using it instead of writing for yourself. What is it, what people makes that fascinated in this technology and seeing that they could be something which takes over some of their emotional work? What is so fascinating about this? I mean, from my point of view, it's something which is more setting, it could more setting you, because it is one of the best and most important things to show emotions, right?
Yes. So what I see is at the point where I see this technology is helping me in my day-to-day life, then all of a sudden my feelings about it change. I'm not that frightened anymore, for example. And this is also why we love the reverse mentorings, because those moments come up. Not when you're in the crowd of 1,000 people or something, but those moments come up when you're talking to one person, one and one, where you build trust. Maybe when another person tells you, this technology that helped me in this way, or maybe science helped me in this or that way. Do you want to take a look at it? Do you want to try it out, for example? Those are the crucial moments. When you see something is helping me in my day-to-day business, that's, I think, that the point where things change.
Yes, I'm completely agreeing with you. And it is interesting because people let AI more and more into their private life. So, for example, they ask desperately for having a digital twin, which tells them how to behave in the daily life against their partner, in dressing, in hygienic standards they should follow, and what they have to say. We see on LinkedIn, or less, thanks God, but on other social platforms, we see a lot of people just presenting what they eat or in which street they are. So really nonsense and CO2 measurements of tons of of rubbish, where the people show a lot of their privacy. And on the other hand, they even try to say a few things about it. Why do we have there these discrepancies? What do you think?
Yeah, so what I see is that more and more social media is the stage where I'm presenting myself and I'm presenting a version of myself. But actually, it's like putting a filter, like literally putting a filter on my face, for example, right? When we're talking about TikTok or Instagram or Snap, whatever. But I wouldn't say that this is healthy because this is maybe only 10% or 5% of me and my personality, and the other 90% are not shown. And what the people see on social media is this 10% Paul, and they don't see what really is the whole person, right? And when everyone sees those fake worlds or those filter worlds, we kind of we lose track of reality, and we only see the world in this one perspective. And I would say this can actually be dangerous because suddenly we start to think in kind of standards. I'm only a good person when I'm doing this or that, or I'm only interesting when I do this or that. And I would say this is not what the world should look like.
I also completely agree with you there, and we both agree also on the idea of privacy. So, I mean, being a public figure by your own is on the one hand, but taking care that your family stays private is the other idea.
Yes.
Is this something which is common in your in at your friends, or are you there an exception? And how do others feel about when you're telling them, please don't ask me about this detail, I'm not telling you, or I won't send you a picture of this, or please don't use a picture of this, or please cut this out?
Yeah, so I see, at least in my generation, that as we grew up in this world of data and in this world of social media, we developed also a sense of, okay, this is something that I don't want to share, right? And this is something that is not for publicity. And we also see that in the working places as well, when we are talking about work-life balance, for example, and people saying, well, this belongs to work and this doesn't. So that might be a positive thing when it comes to new technologies, that we kind of understand what do I want to communicate and what don't I want to. And I think it's healthy. So yes, I would see that in my generation, that there are many people saying, well, this doesn't belong into this, the world doesn't need to know this. And I think to some extent it's very healthy. Yes.
I found this really interesting, and for me, it turned into that if I see that people are picturing themselves with their kids, I avoid to being on any photo together with them, because I assume from that behavior that they would behave also with pictures from me, using them in circumstances which is not discussed with me beforehand.
Yes, yeah, right. So yeah, when it comes to the pictures, this is also a topic, right? Because how do I want people to see me in publicity? I mean, I dress before I go out the door, right? So, and the same with the internet as well. So I think when it comes to privacy, this is a discussion that we will have within the next years more and more.
Yes. And not only privacy, it's also about fake or authenticity. I mean, is it something which frightens you sometimes, thinking about that it might be hard in the next future to identify? If, for example, that what Kamala Harris, I mean, we all know she hasn't written her speech by herself. Yes, I mean, this is not something new, but maybe it is not even Kamala Harris who's speaking there. It's just an AI technology which put her mimics, gestics, tone on, and to find a completely different person.
Yeah, so deep fake, I think, is a huge risk. And for private persons as well as for companies as well. But I mean, you see that things are always used for criminal solutions as well, right? It's in the offline world, it's in the online world as well. So, but when it comes to a deep fake, for me, it's another very good argument to say, well, let's go back into reality and meet one-on-one, right? Because if you're in front of me, you will see that it's not a deep fake, and you know how I react, how I'm talking, right? So this is why I would say it's a great advertisement, actually, for reality and meet and talk to each other in reality again, and not via channels, video call and everything else.
Yeah, that's right. And I think also, I mean, we face that AI goes more and more into arts and culture. There are artists, for example, not painting anymore, but let AI paint, or musicians which try to let the music be organized without any tone of themselves. The question is this art? Is this not? Is this just a technique? But there's another question arises to me. I mean, what does music, real music, mean to you? And what kind of role does it play in your life?
I love music. So when I think I started playing the piano when I was 4 years old, I had the first teacher. And I started playing the drums when I was 7. And for me, music is something that on the one hand is fun to play music and also listening to music, like tunes like this from Jacob Collier, for example. And on the other hand, it's also fun doing it together, with other people. It's connecting. So when we're talking about barriers, talking about people not talking to each other, right? Music could be a part of a solution, at least. And also it's a way of communication that everyone understands. You don't need to speak the language people are singing, right? But you can understand the music and the feelings behind it. So I'm a huge fan of listening to music. And I don't know, Annabelle, if you're playing an instrument, maybe at some point we can play a song together.
Would be great. It would really be great. I started singing and piano playing, and it is a kind of real important part of my life. Yes, let's talk about that.
Let's do it.
And unfortunately, it brings us to an end. The time was really running. Do you want to share maybe one, two, or three hacks with our audience?
So maybe three hacks. One thing, honey shower. When it comes to talking to each other, bringing honey over a person, talk, for example, for your team or your colleague, say something what you really like. No negative things, just positive things. A few sentences. Do that every month, for example, or every week. Second hack I love to start resilience. There's always one day a week where I don't work. Really works out. It's really great. And wow. Maybe third, take responsibility. I want to take responsibility and also give responsibility to other people around me and give some trust. I would say those are three hacks that I really love and that are really working out.
Thank you so much for sharing this with us. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing you later.
Many thanks.
So see you soon and looking forward to cooperating with you, especially on music. Thank you.
Thank you, Annabelle.
So after a small commercial, we turn into this book. Presentation.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We continue now with the book, and today it's about breathing, breath, from James Nestor. Have you ever thought about your breath? Have you ever thought about what it needs for your body to breathe and how different you can breathe? Some of you might have heard about Wim Hof and his quite tricky methods to practices for longevity. But I would like to give you a more deeper step into that. Breath is a fascinating exploration on the fundamental yet often overlooked act of breathing. James Nestor delves deep into the scene and science and history of human respiration, uncovering how modern habits have distorted our natural ability to breathe properly, leading to numerous health problems. Through engaging storytelling, he reveals techniques used by ancient cultures and cutting-edge science to improve breath, from yogic breathing to newer discoveries in respiratory therapy. The book's strength lies in blending personal anecdotes, interviews with experts, and scientific research. Nestor challenges readers to rethink something really basic as breathing, showing how powerful small changes can be for health and well-being. It's not just a self-help book, but a call to re-educate ourselves on an instinctual action we take for granted. a practical advice offered can be benefit everyone, making breath both an eye-opener and a practical guide to a healthier life. James Nathester is a journalist and author who has written for publications like the New York Times and Scientific American and The Atlantic. He's known for his curiosity about the human body and the nature of work. His interest in breathing began after experiencing his own health problems and realizing the profound impact proper breathing had on his well-being. He became deeply invested in the subject, spending years researching, traveling, and experimenting with different techniques. His writing style is accessible, blending his scientific inquiries with personal experiences, making complex topics thick and easy to grasp for the average reader. His passion for human physiology, especially the respiratory system, has made breath a bestseller, contributing to a broader conversation about wellness and the importance of ancient practices into modern life. And breathing is really something we often don't think about. We just breathe. But if we listen to our breath, if we feel how deep we breathe, then we often see that we don't breathe as much as we could and as it's useful. Breathing is giving a lot of kind of food to our body, and it's easy to learn, but for many it's hard because they have never learned how to breathe in the right way. It is a kind of self-healing strategy, and you should really turn into that because it helps you. So I would like to give you 7 tips from the book first. Nasal breathing is superior to mouth breathing for overall health. Slow, deep breaths are more beneficial than shallow, fast breathing. Breathing less frequently with more controlled exhalations boosts oxygen efficiency. Breath hold and resistance exercises can increase lung capacity and endurance. Proper posture plays a vital role in maintaining healthy breathing patterns. Ancient techniques like pranayama can be adapted for modern wellness. And carbon dioxide is not the enemy. It plays a crucial role in oxygen absorption. So I would like to end the review of the book with a summary with 5 quotes from the author. The missing pillar in health is breath. It all starts there. No matter what you eat, how much you exercise, how resilient your genes are, how skinny or young or wise you are, none of it matters if you are not breathing properly. We've forgotten how to breathe correctly, and it's affecting our health in countless ways. Nose breathing filters air, regulates temperature, and increases oxygen uptake. Proper breathing will lead to a longer, healthier life. We just have to relearn how to do it. You would like to know more about it? You get it. I will read something. But a few words before. Talking of my own experience, some of you might know that I did extremely a lot of sports in my younger ages. And my father was my manager at the time, and he trained me on how to use as little air as possible to work with this as much effective as possible. He learned me also and showed me and trained me on how to deal with little air underwater to be able to stay underwater for a long, long time. And looking back, I recognize that I never learned to do really, really deep breaths until I started with singing. Singing was a kind of eye-opener for me in this way, because I started feeling that you can breathe into your belly, in your lower belly, that you can breathe in your back, that you can breathe in your arms and in your head. Combining it with this feeling that you can fill your whole body with air, I started breathing in a completely different way. And it turned into that I felt much more healthier, younger, fresher, awake. And nowadays, I practice this, especially in special situations when I slept too little because of attending a light conference the day before, or if I'm getting sick. And breathing is really like a kind of medicine for me since then. So I want to turn into reading you from Breath, the new science of a lost art. And it could be sometimes so easy, right? I mean, we are used to buy everything, okay? Buying maybe a machine which gives us oxygen while filtering the air around us. But you don't need machines. You are the right machine which can do everything for yourself. The place looked like something out of Amityville. All paint chip walls, dusty windows, and menacing shadows cast by moonlight. I walked through a gate, up a flight of creaking steps, and knocked on the door. When it swung open, a woman in her 30s with woolly eyebrows and oversized white teeth welcomed me inside. She asked me to take off my shoes. They allowed me to her cavernous living room, its ceiling painted sky blue with wispy clouds. I took a seat beside a window that rattled in the breeze and watched through the jumbled streetlight as others walked in. A guy with prisoner eyes, a stern-faced man with Jerry Lewis bangs, a blonde woman with an off-center bindi on her forehead. Through the rustle of shuffling feet and whispered hellos, a truck rumbled down the street blasting paper planes, an inescapable anthem of the day. I removed my belt, loosened the top button on my jeans, and settled in. I'd come here on the recommendation of my doctor, which told me a breathing class could help. It could help strengthen my failing lungs, calm my frazzled mind, maybe give me perspective. For the past few months, I've been going through a rough path. My job was stressing me out and my 130-year-old house was falling apart. I just recovered from pneumonia, which I had also the year before and the year before and the year before. I was spending most of my time at home wheezing, working and eating three meals a day out of the same bowl while hunched over week-old newspapers on the couch. I was in a rut physically, mentally and otherwise. After a few months of living this way, I took my doctor's advice and signed up for an introductory course in breathing to learn a technique called Sudarshan Kriya. At 7 p.m., the bushy-browed woman locked the front door, sat in the middle of the group, inserted a cassette tape into a beat-up boom box and pressed play. She told us to close our eyes. Through hissing statics, and the voice of a man with an Indian accent flowed from the speakers. It was squeaky, balding, and too melodious to sound natural, as if it had been taken from a cartoon. The voice instructed us to inhale slowly through our noses, then to exhale slowly, to focus on our breath. We repeated this process for a few times. I reached over to a pile of blankets and wrapped one around my legs to keep my stocking feet warm beneath the drafty window. I kept breathing, but nothing happened. No calmness swept over me. No tension released from my tight muscles. Nothing. Then 10, maybe 20 minutes passed. I started getting annoyed and a bit resentful that I'd chosen to spend my evening inhaling dusty air on the floor of an old Victorian. I opened my eyes and looked around. Everyone had the same somber, bored look. Prisoner A's appeared to be sleeping. Jerry Lewis looked like he was relieving himself. Bindi sat frozen with a cheeser cat smile on her face. I thought about getting up and leaving, but I didn't. I didn't want to be rude. The session was free. The instructor wasn't paid to be here. I needed to respect her charity. So I closed my eyes again, wrapped the blanket a little tighter, and kept breathing. Then something happened. I wasn't conscious of any transformation taking place. I've never felt myself relax or the swarm of nagging thoughts leave my head. But it was if I'd been taken from one place and deposited somewhere else. It happened in an instant. The tape came to an end and I opened my eyes. There was something wet on my head. I lifted my hand to wipe it off and noticed my hair was sopping. I ran my hair down my face, felt the sting of sweat in my eyes, and tasted salt. I looked down at my torso and noticed sweat blotches on my sweater and jeans. The temperature in the room was about 68 degrees, much cooler beneath the drafty window. Everyone had been covered in jackets and hoodies to keep warm, but I had somehow sweated through my clothes as if I had just run a marathon. The instructor approached and asked if I was okay, if I'd been sick or had a fever. I told her I felt perfectly fine. Then she said something about the bodies, about the body's heat, and how each inhale breath provides us with new energy and each exhale releases old, stale energy. I tried to take it, but was having trouble focusing. I was preoccupied with how I was going to ride my bike 3 miles from Bahade, Ashbury, and sweat-soaked clothes. The next day, I felt even better. As advertised, there was a feeling of calm and quiet that I hadn't experienced in a long time. I slept well. The little things in life didn't bother me as much. The tension was gone from my shoulders and neck. This lasted a few days before the feeling faded out. What exactly had happened? How did sitting cross-legged in a funky house and breathing for an hour trigger such a profound reaction? I returned to the breathing class the next week. Same experience. Fewer waterworks. I didn't mention any of it to the family members or friends, but I worked to understand what had happened, and I spent the next several years trying to figure out. Over the span of time, I fixed up my house, got off of my funk, and got a lead that might answer some of my questions about breathing. I went to Greece to write a story on free diving, the ancient practice of diving hundreds of feet below the water surface on a single breath of air. Between dives, I interviewed dozens of experts, hoping to gain some perspective on what they did and why. I wanted to know how these unassuming, pinnacle-looking people, software engineers, advertising executives, biologists, and physicists had trained their bodies to go without air for 12 minutes a time, diving to death far beyond what scientists thought possible. When most people go underwater in a pool, they bail out at 10 feet after just a few seconds, ears screaming. The free divers told me that previously been most people. Their transformation was a matter of training. They had coaxed their lung to work harder, to tap the pulmonary capabilities that the rest of us ignore. They insisted they weren't special. Anyone in reasonable health willing to put in the hours could dive to 100, 200, even 300 feet. It didn't matter how old you were, how much you weighed, or what your genetic makeup was. To free dive, they said all anyone had to was master the art of breathing. To them, breathing wasn't an unconscious act. It wasn't something they just did. It was a force, a medicine, a mechanism through which they could gain an almost superhuman power. There are as many ways to breathe as there are foods to eat, said one female instructor who had heard her breathe for more than 8 minutes and once dived below 300 feet. And each way we breathe will affect our bodies in different ways. Another diver told me that some methods of breathing will nourish our brains, while others will kill neurons. Some will make us healthy, while others will hasten our death. They told crazy stories about how they breathed in a way that expanded the size of their lungs by 30% or more. They told me about an Indian doctor who lost several pounds by simply changing the way he inhaled, and about another man who was injected with a bacterial endotoxin E. coli, then breathed in a rhythm pattern to stimulate his immune system and destroy the toxins within minutes. They told me about women who put their cancers into remission and monks who could melt circles in the snow around their bare bodies over a period of several hours. It all sounded nuts. During my off hours from doing underwater research, usually late night, I read through reams of literature on the subject. Surely someone had studied the effect on this conscious breathing on landlubbers. Surely someone had corroborated the freedom of his fantastic stories of using breathing for weight loss, health, and longevity. I found a library's worth of material. The problem was their sources were hundreds, thousands of years old. And this brings me back to us. And as we come to an end with our nowadays show, it's sometimes the very easy things which reminds us who we are, and the easy things which brings us back to us. And we often forget about this. And we often like to take others, a coach, a consultant, a machine, anything which assists us by doing it for ourselves. But the main power is in yourself. And we often forget about it. But if we look into that, you will see that you have the power in yourself. It's sometimes hard at first, but try it out. And I would love if you take some of these breath exercises for you and yourself. So thank you for being part of our community. Thank you for being today in the show. And until next time, shining and empowering others. Together we rise. Thank you.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.